He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. This is the word of the Lord.
Lovely to see you all. Lots of familiar faces. I'm Dave Middlebrook, Archdeacon of Bedford. I live in Luton, so I've walked here this morning, and my neighbour David is sat in the back row there. So David Dallinger is my neighbour. So it's lovely to be with you. If we've not met before, afterwards over tea or coffee, if you'd like a chat, please feel free to do so. I think Ruth and the children have got ahead of us, actually, from their particular, with the police and the paramedic. They were obviously ahead of us because we're looking at that passage, that wonderful passage where Jesus lays down for us what it means to be a Christian. What does that mean in our culture and how we live today is what he's looking at in those words. And actually, there are two phrases that I want us to focus on today. One is, keep it simple. And the second is, it's radical. Simple and radical. These are the words that Jesus asks of us in our cultural living today as Christians. Simple and radical. Keep those in mind as we look at this short passage which leads into the parable of the Good Samaritan, which Ruth and the children mentioned to us earlier. I don't know if you've ever heard of a painter called Edward Sego. Probably you haven't. I hadn't, but I looked it up. And actually, he's well known for his landscapes. And what he does when he paints is he misses most of it out, which sounds a bit strange. But actually, it's very, very simple what he does. Most of it is space, just with the essentials. And from that, we get a wonderful, wonderful landscape. Do look up some of his paintings. And most artists go, well, just put a little bit more in there, a little bit more colour, a little bit more, another tree, a bit more mountain, a bit more shade. No, he deliberately misses bits out. And apparently it goes back to when he was young, he was very, very ill, and he used to lie in bed. And the only thing he could see out of his window was a tree. And he painted the same tree every day throughout the year. The same tree every day throughout the year. Winter, spring, summer, autumn, winter again, all types of weather, he looked at the same tree and painted it. He knew that tree in great detail, which means when he draws trees, he's really good at trees. It's obviously the practice that he's had. It got me thinking, actually, how often do we get crowded in by all the things going on in the world around us? How often do we get everything gets thrown into the pot and we're trying to juggle all those things and keep it all going and we're spinning the plates? I'm sure you, like me, far too many things in our diary. I saw a pub recently, it said it was open 8 days a week. I could do with that, I could tell you. Actually, do we need to strip back some of those things? They're unimportant things, they're not essential things. Christian living is pretty simple, really. Love God with absolutely everything and love your neighbour as yourself. That's it. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says he's come to fulfil the law. And he says the law is that. That's it. Love God with absolutely everything and love your neighbour as yourself. And we often complicate it, don't we? Don't we make it complicated? With rules and regulations and you must do and you mustn't do. Jesus says, love God with everything and love your neighbour as yourself. And he says, everything else will fit into place. And when he's asked by that lawyer, what must I do to inherit eternal life, i.e. to step into heaven with Jesus forever, love God with everything and love your neighbour as yourself. That's all there is to it. Now, when I say that to people, I say, yes, Dave, but what about all the thou shalt and thou shalt nots? Actually, no. Let's strip back to see what it is, to see what the essential is. Interestingly, the question that the lawyer asked, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Being a Christian is not actually about doing. We are beings. We all know that. We're human beings. It's about the sort of person that we are. What are our priorities? What is our focus? What are the main things in life? It's not about doing a list of tasks or jobs or roles. It is about being. That's what the essential thing is. It is about being and our focus being on God. That's why the story of the Good Samaritan comes next, which we didn't read. I know that. But I know you know it well. And the trouble with the Good Samaritan story is we know it so well, when anyone mentions it, we're thinking, now, didn't I put the timer on for the oven? Where are my car keys? Because I know that story really, really well. And that's the problem, isn't it? Often we think we know. We know Scripture. We know God. We never know God. We never know all of Scripture. We don't. Actually, because we are so busy with other things. We can never know God because God is too big. I did a theology degree and my conclusion was God is big. Took me 2 years to work that out, by the way. Actually, God is so big we will never fully understand. So the story of the Good Samaritan is about being, not about doing. Why do I say that? Because if you think about it, all those wonderful people who walked past, they were good people. They were church attending. Well, synagogue attending, actually. They were good people. They did good things. They really did. And if we'd met them in the street, we'd said, that's a good guy. Lovely chap. But they walked straight past. They were busy doing, weren't they? They were busy doing. They didn't have time. I've got to go and do things. Look at my list. Look at my diary. I'm not got time to, whoever that is, I don't know. I've got to rush off. That's who they were. They weren't being. A little story for you. When I was in my last church, Archdeacon should never say that, by the way. When I was in my last parish, in my last parish, we had the joy of having a staff team and we went on a conference. We went on a conference to a conference hall. We had a couple of students on placement with us and we had Hannah with us. Hannah, lovely Hannah, was German, lovely, lovely girl. But let's say she was socially awkward. She couldn't talk to people and she was incredibly, incredibly shy. So if you spoke to her, she would look at her feet. That's the sort of person she was. Lovely, 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 but really, really shy. And we went on this conference with Hannah. And at lunchtime, we went to the local Tesco's and got our meal deal. We went down to the park and we ate our sandwiches and had a nice chat. And then we walked back again. And as we were walking back, I went, where's Hannah gone? And she was 200 yards behind us. And she was giving her pat lunch away to the people that we'd walked past. She had not eaten her pat lunch because on the way to the park, she had noticed that there were homeless people on the side of the road. So when we came to the park, we all stuffed our sandwiches and our crisps, and we'd obviously bought extra because with a meal deal, you only get one side. You don't get a Mars bar as well. And we stuffed our faces. And we were rushing back again because we had things to do. We've got to get back to the conference. We've got to get to the next workshop. We've got to hear the next talk. She stopped and spoke to the people on the way. This girl who found talking to strangers really, really difficult stopped and was giving away a sandwich, just having a chat and giving away a sandwich. A lesson for me. In being. We're being. Cut away everything. We're being. In this story that we didn't read, I know, but we know it so well. It's interesting, isn't it? We often focus on the Good Samaritan. We often put ourselves in the Good Samaritan's shoes because we're good people, aren't we? All the walkers by were good people. Please, they were good people. They were too busy doing and not being. That's what the problem was. That's what Jesus said to them. The beaten up man often gets little attention, by the way, does he? We often don't focus on the beaten up man. He's the one who gets put in the donkey and taken off and looked after. But we just sort of, he's a bit of a sideline in this story, actually. I wonder how often we're the beaten up man. How often are we the ones who feel a bit sort of weighed down by life? A bit beaten up at the moment. I don't know your personal circumstances. Maybe you feel a bit downtrodden at the moment. A bit lying on the side of the road. Too much stuff to do. It's all going wrong. Life's a bit difficult. Please ask for prayer, won't you? Don't go feeling like that. Don't go home feeling like that. And when you come to communion, when you put your hands out, receive from Christ through the bread and the wine. Because when we're the beaten up ones, Jesus is the Good Samaritan who comes to us to bind us up, to pick us up. So today, don't go home if you're feeling a bit beaten up, by the way. Please don't go home feeling like that. Please ask someone for prayer. Please use the worship. Please, please don't go home feeling beaten up. The other thing that I got thinking is, what if Jesus is the beaten up man? Do you feel sometimes the church gets a bit of a kicking at the moment in the press? Maybe sometimes we need to say, actually, what is our role as Christians? The good news is Jesus and God works despite us, not because of us, by the way. I just thought I'd better mention that. But there are times when we have to actually stand up for what is right, for what is good, and comment upon it. So that's the first part. Keep it simple. We are beings, not doers. We're not human doers. We're human beings. You've heard all that before. I know that. Actually, the first thing is it's really, really simple. All we have to do is focus on God and focus on our neighbour. Really, really simple. I know it's really difficult, actually. But that's what we're asked. Let's be beings, not doers. The second part to this is that's really radical. We're called to be radical people. Now, Christians are often not thought of as radical people, but actually we are. Now, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, you all know. And do you know that famous little bit where the four children meet Mr. and Mrs. Beaver? Do you know that bit in the story? You know which bit I'm going to tell you, don't you? You know the story bit? Well, let me remind you. Some of you are looking a bit blank. Okay. So Mr. and Mrs. Beaver meet the children. And the children sort of say they're going to take, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are going to take them to see Aslan. Okay, that's the bit of the story where we're at. And daughter of Eve, that's what I brought you here for. I will lead you where you shall meet him, says Mr. Beaver. Is he a man? Asks Lucy. Aslan a man? Says Mr. Beaver. Certainly not. I tell you, he's the king of the wood, the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who the king of beasts is? Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion. Says Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I feel nervous about meeting a lion. That you will be, dearie. No mistake, says Mrs. Beaver. If anyone can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Does Jesus feel safe to you? He is our friend. He's our brother. He's the one who picks us up when we're beaten up, when we feel downtrodden by things in life. But he's also the king. Is he safe? He's good. Is it safe? He's great, majestic, powerful. Is he safe? If our faith has become safe, maybe we've also lost what the essential things are of loving God with everything and loving our neighbour as ourselves, because that isn't always safe. Sorry if that's bad news for you. Sorry if you thought being a Christian was nice and safe and easy, because at times it isn't. At times we're asked to do difficult things. We are humans. And human says self first. Everyone in this room looks after themselves first. No matter how hard we try, because that's our natural human response. First man or woman is me. I'm going to look after myself and my family. That's important. Actually, what we're asked to do is step out of that safe zone, because we've got to love God with everything. And love our neighbour first. That's not safe. that's really difficult. And it's interesting, in today's society, that is a completely radical understanding. Why do I say that? Well, I could get a bit political. I'll try not to. But in our world today, we are encouraged to look after ourselves first. All the debate around refugees, other people who are not like us, all the debate actually around Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Gaza, it's all about putting people in opposing camps. It's not safe for us to stand up and say, is it right to put up flags? I'm getting political now. Is that a good thing to do when it terrifies other people? Is that a misuse of patriotism? Is it a misuse of Christian symbols when people go on rallies in London to talk about it? Now, I don't know your political views, and you can talk to me about it over coffee if you like and tea. But actually, this is very relevant to today's culture. Because what it says of us is we have to look out for those who are on the margins, for those who other people despise and look down upon. That's what it says, because we have to love our neighbour as ourselves. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, you know the situation between the Jewish nation and the Samaritans. The Samaritans were beyond the pale. Nobody went near Samaria. It was a terrible place. Shocking. They're beyond God. They are. That was the thinking. And the story that Jesus told was, no, this man is going to pick up the Good Samaritan. He's going to put him on his donkey and take him to the hotel and pay for him to be looked after, because he is somebody that everybody else is looking down upon. You are called not to be like that. You are called to be and loving your neighbour. Is that safe? Not always, because some people are going to shout at us and be cross with us and be upset with us. I want to read you a little letter. This is a college professor read a letter that a parent had written to a government official. The parent complained that his son, who had been given every advantage, who had gone to all the right schools, who was on his way to a promising career as a lawyer, had got involved with a strange religious sect. Members of the sect now control his son's every move. They cut him off from friends and family. They've taken all his money. And the father asked a government official to do something about this dangerous religious group. After reading the letter, the professor asked the class, who do you think the religious sect is? And some people suggest, oh, maybe it's the Moonies. Maybe it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Maybe it's someone like that. And no. The professor explained that what he'd read was a composed of a letter written in the 3rd century to Roman officials complaining about a group known as Christians. That's what the letter was. Because they were radical. They stood up for people. They gave their money away for those who no one else wanted anything to do with. Following Jesus, putting God first, and our neighbours before ourselves means a radical change in our lifestyle. Because basically, we're all pretty selfish. Me included. And we put ourselves first. Jesus used words like this. I have come to bring fire. Fire which purifies, which reveals, which destroys. Fire which licks at the sin that sticks so closely. Fire which wants to eat away at the parts of you that you thought were covered. Where you, as you kneel to receive my body, my blood, may light up things which make your knees knock. It's a slightly different translation, but that's what he said, basically. That's what he said. To bring fire, to refine, to make different. I have come to bring a sword, he says. That's what he says in other parts of scripture. This isn't Jesus meek and mild, is it? This is radical stuff. We're asked to be radical. And it's not safe, always. It's not safe. And there's a tendency in our Christian lives, and I look at myself, that actually we become a bit stagnant. We become a bit sort of tick along, keep it going, turn up on a Sunday and sing the songs and read the Bible daily and do our prayer bit and drink our cup of tea and receive communion. And it's a bit, Is it radical? No, it's not radical at all, is it really? And if you look at this, what Jesus asks of us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's about growing in faith, isn't it? And actually, there's a little tick list there. Our mind. Paul speaks about the transforming of our minds. Trying to understand this enormous big God that we can never fully grasp because he's just too big. And if there are parts of your faith where your faith says, actually, have I expanded my understanding of God? I encourage you to find ways to do that. It might mean talking to people you don't agree with. It might do. Reading bits of scripture they don't normally read. Getting involved in a Bible study group or something if you haven't been for a little while. We're asked to be transforming our minds, and we are confined by the culture in which we find ourselves. And our culture could be our work situation, what we're fed in at work or college. It could be society as a whole. What are we looking at on Facebook and social media? What's feeding into us? It could be our church culture. It could even be our church culture. What is feeding in? Are we transforming our minds? Our hearts. Have we got a heart for people? For those actually who are marginalized, those on the edge of society, those who, like that Samaritan, are beaten up on the side of the road, have we got a heart and, like Hannah, a willingness to stop and look and listen and talk? And our soul. What makes our soul sing? What makes our soul sing? I think it's when actually we find God, we find faith. We see him afresh. That makes our soul sing. And again, I pray, if you haven't had that experience for a while, maybe when you come up to communion and kneel here, hands, maybe it's a moment to say, God, fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, make my soul sing again. And again, if you haven't felt that for a while, afterwards, please do find someone to pray with, whether that's someone you know well or the prayer team here. Please do. Please do. Jesus said, when asked, what must I do? Basically says, don't do, be. Be different. Be radical. Be willing to learn. Be willing to step out afresh. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law, he said. How do you read it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. You've answered well. Do this and you will live. And when he said live, that's not just for eternal life. That's live now, in now, in the culture in which we find ourselves now. Because actually life in all its fullness that God promises us, that Jesus promises us, isn't just for the future when we in glory, promoted to glory and back with all those that we've loved who've gone ahead of us. It is for the now. And I believe when we get that right, when we get that right, we will find our lives enriched, our souls enriched, our hearts enriched. And all of us will find that our soul sings when we do what God asks of us. So love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Simple as that. It's all Jesus asks. I say it's simple, but it's not easy. So much distracts, so much crowds in, so much influences us. Can we ask God, can I see afresh? Can I see anew? Can I be radical? Can I be different? Only with your help, Lord. Only with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves to you as we've sung earlier. I offer up my life. Lord, forgive us where we trundle along in ordinariness and everydayness. Lord, give us courage. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Lord, we recognize that what you ask of us in many ways is simple, but requires us to be different, to be radical, to step out. So Lord, this week, we pray with maybe with our hearts in our mouths, Lord, we pray for the courage and the opportunity to do that this week, to step out for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Will be with us as we seek to do that this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.